This song is called Crazy Street. We shot the video right here in the sanctuary. This is what you call mic stand rap. This song is about this city. I got a question. Man, how many kids gonna die next summer? Man, the Shy got problems. Everybody waiting on Obama. I love that man, but he ain't gonna solve them. So I'm standing in front of this little postman. The boy barely had a life and he lost it. In broad daylight, they offed him. And the shot, this happens too often. And they wonder why I rap like I rap, because I'm tired of this crap. So I'm finna fight back. The devil gave us beatings, the gangs, the AKs, the Greg Bays, and crack. Man, take that back. And the game and the fame and the crime, make a name for myself, really don't mean a thing. If I get about the hood and I'm doing real good, and the people in the hood going through the same thing. If don't nobody help, I'm an army of one. Army of two, cause I ride with the sun. Loading my soul, they loading their guns. Here to do the work of God and I'm done. To make a better world for my daughter and my son. How could our parents have been so dumb? Yeah, I'm scared, but it must be done. If I gotta die, then Lord, here I come. It's like my dreams out of reach. This pain and all this grief. If you see God and you happen to speak, tell him it's crazy in these streets. Feel my pain, it gets so deep that make it hard to sleep. If you see God and you happen to speak, tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. If you see God and you happen to speak, tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. If you see God and you happen to speak, tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. If you see God and you happen to speak, tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. If you see God and you happen to speak, tell him it's crazy in these streets.
It's crazy in these streets. And it's hard right now to start judging. But when you get enough pain and it's been enough here, get to wondering if God still loves us. Get to wondering if God do hate, or if God just forgot because he busy. Other people trying to pray to him. This world that you invented can't be what you envision. Must be that you intended. Everything that I've been given, brokenness, sickness, help, this marriage, I've been faithful, I've been living, I've been praying, I've been reading. Said you never leave us and gave us Jesus to protect us. And them people got him, shot him, beaten, weeded, needles, pregnant. And before they ever got to see Olympic City, killed them and pushed them to the birds before them cameras saw them. 100 Darions we missed. I'm glad the camera caught it. It's hard to watch, imagine living this and be the Bulls. Babies go to school and come home and they invisible. So dreams disappear. It's easy to complain, but if it's crazy, it's a world we created. We can change it.
Like my dreams out of reach. This pain and all this grief. If you see God and you happen to speak, tell him it's crazy in these streets. Feel my pain to get so deep that make it hard to sleep. If you see God and you happen to speak, tell him it's crazy in these streets.
It's crazy,
tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. If you see God and you happen to speak, tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. If you see God and you happen to speak, tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. If you see God and you happen to speak, tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. If you see God and you happen to speak, tell him it's crazy in these streets.
I want everybody right now to think about a block right now. You might live on it. It might be one you know about. And when you think about that block or that person going through something right now, just put your ones in the air one time. Just put your ones in the air. And let me hear y'all say, it's crazy in these streets. It's crazy in these streets. It's crazy in these streets.
Come on, it's crazy in these streets.
And as we pray that prayer, just know,
it's crazy in these streets.
Then we don't have to be ordained. You don't have to
be
a doctor.
Come on, it's crazy in these streets.
You don't have to even know the right words.
It's crazy in these streets.
If you see God and you happen to speak, tell him it's crazy in these streets.
So today we're doing something a little different, not only in the hip-hop, but because hip-hop, we've shown you different elements. We've shown you freestyling, and freestyling is not just about freestyling, making up stuff, being fun, but it's about letting go of your inner critic, right? It's about being able to like trust that the thing that you say might be whack. It might be garbage, but just to like say it, to try it, to trust it. That's a hip-hop. We're building a hip-hop ethos in this church, whether you rap or not, to suspend your inner critic. Amen? And we've been showing that and doing that. But it's also conversational. You all are very used to, as I am, as most of the capital C church in this world is used to, like sermons that come from one person, and like you just listen, you get yours, and that's it, right? We're doing a more dialogical. Hip-hop is dialogue. Hip-hop is talking to each other and being in conversation with each other. Hip-hop is when the dude who didn't necessarily record his song in the greatest studio, like from the highest to the lowest, get a chance to do something, to be heard, and their voice is heard in a world that would otherwise restrict them. That's a hip-hop ethos that we're building, whether you're a rapper or not. And we're continuing to build that this morning with a conversation with this brother who's not only known as Breathe Easy, but he is one of the, you work with Becoming a Man, right? With Youth Guidance and Becoming a Man. What's your official title over there?
I'm a counselor.
Yeah, so, and what schools are you at? Like,
I'm
where?
At, I do most of my counseling at Cook Elementary in Auburn Gresham neighborhood. On the south side of Chicago, and what we do is a mentoring program specifically aimed at young men to help them become men. We put, you know, the BAM principles into them, integrity and things like that, and we spend all year just teaching them that, taking them on trips, and just mentoring young men. And then there's a school counseling aspect also, so for the rest of the school, I'm their school counselor. And so we deal with some of the things that young people deal with, abuse, neglect, things like that. Anything that's on their mind, really, stress. And we help them to maneuver through those problems in practical ways that they can grasp.
And what I think is really unique about this is, like, for many of us, we want to help. We want to, like, our church really, like, is all about, like, doing whatever we can to be helpful.
Absolutely.
To these young folks. Amen? That, like, that's what we're about. And mentoring, my goodness, I could point out five people right now who are, like, all over that, right? And is in burning up their spirit, and something's going to happen there. But that's why I wanted us to hear from you, because you're with those kids being affected most. You're not, like, looking at the internet and telling us about them. You know them. You see them every day. What is the difference between, like, what we think is going on with these young folks in Chicago who become victims, who become perpetrators of violence, who become the shooter, right, and the shot, and, like, what's going on with them that we might think versus what's really happening? Like, what do they need from us?
I think the first thing that we probably think is going on that's not really going on is, like, I think we think somehow that these kids are different than our kids or the kids that, you know, that we're used to seeing, right? They're not different. They're in a different environment. And if you put these kids, if you switch the environments, you would have the exact same result. So it's not about the kids. I think the biggest thing that we can do is, I think a lot of times we look at those kids over there and we say, man, somebody should help those kids over there. And they should do something about those kids over there. And they should put some more money. They should whatever. And it's always about what they should do because we don't know exactly what it is that we can do. And I think the biggest impact, like, I became a rapper because I wanted kids to see me up here. I wanted, like, a platform, right? And then through rapping, this is how I got involved with young people. And I realized that the rapping we done been on all the TVs and, you know, all of that stuff. So we've been kind of seen as, like, famous, right? They don't care. The kids really care about what it is that I work with some kids who don't know that I rap. You understand what I'm saying? And I feel like it's a discipleship mode, I think, that can work with young people in the neighborhoods to where you just take a kid and just pour into that young person. You don't have to be a rapper. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be special, right? But there's something we see some of us in those kids, and no matter what, if you're honest and you open up to those kids, they'll see something that they want to be like in you. The kids really care about the people that's in their life every single day more than they care about any rapper on the TV. And so I would encourage us to become those people that are in their lives. Mentoring is very powerful.
I mean, you're talking about the, you're talking about mentoring. You're talking about one-on-one relationships that really get out, touch lives, make impact with people, grow people up. That's what I'm hearing you say, right?
Right. And not mentoring as in, I told you to clean your room. That's healthy for you, right? But mentoring as in opening your life and letting them see how you treat your kids, how you treat your wife, how you treat your husband, the positive things that you've learned. Kids respond mostly to food, so feed them. You know, they're like us, you know what I mean? Kids, you be like, what's wrong with the kids? They're hangry. Like, they just want a taco. So, like, give a kid a taco and then tell them about your life and share, and they'll begin to share. As you become authentic, they'll become authentic with you, and be patient.
It reminds me of a mentoring relationship in the Bible. Saul and David. Right, where like David is, we've been going through David across the summer here and hearing that story in 1 Samuel, where David goes after he's anointed, called by Samuel. After he's anointed, then he goes off to sit under him, right, to learn from him. He even plays the lyre and he comforts him. And so that's one thing about mentoring relationships that we don't think about. We think about it as one directional, like I am going to change your life. Yeah. But like in a real mentoring relationship, we open ourselves up to being changed as well. We become vulnerable to being shifted and changed by something that they will say to us, that David was the one who was able to comfort Saul by doing what he did, right? And it turned out Saul had a lot going on, and I'm gonna read some of that too. But it's a situation where like we realize that we need to have relationships around us that grow us up. Can anybody here think about their mentor? Can you think about your mentor? The person who saw you early, the person who grew you up with big questions. Didn't just say, hey, do what I said, but had big questions for you. And when they asked these questions, they changed the way that you thought about the world. Can you think about mentors, people who gave you opportunities to do things when maybe nobody else might have given you that opportunity? Some of y'all got smiles coming on your face. You don't even see yourself smiling right now. Thinking about mentors, right? Folks who are either here alive and you ain't spoke to them in a long time, and you need to call them while you can, amen? And go visit them and say thank you while you can, and other folks who are ancestors right now, and just give thanks for our mentors, because we need these mentoring relationships, right, Reed?
Right. And so, I mean, I like what you were saying about, you know, letting it change you, because I think one of the things that has kept me, you know, on the right path and made me be, you know, the best man that I could be is, you know, my own kids. But also, I can't have these kids seeing me out here in the world acting crazy. Like, I can't even curse on Facebook, like, because I feel like, you know what I mean, a kid who will, you know, see that, and I don't want to be a bad example for them. I think, like, a lot of times people will say, these kids don't respect their elders. I don't think we have the same caliber elders that we used to. And that's people in here that are doing fine, but ooh, it's hard to listen to your grandpa when his girlfriend is the same age as you, and you know what I mean? And he texting you chain letters and stuff on Facebook, and it's just like, it's not the same respect level. Like, I think the elders slipping a little bit. And so, well, we gotta be able to keep that accountability for you know what I mean, as elders, and watch the people that we are become, watch the things that we are doing, and that keeps us on point. I know it's kept me on point, and hopefully it continues to keep me on point. But if y'all see me act crazy, just know it's the senile kicking in. It's not.
You ain't that old yet. That beard, I don't know what's going on there, but listen.
When I get that, there's two grays. I got two grays.
I see them two gray hairs, too.
Shining.
But it's also like, it's not just like at the individual level where like a mentor is somebody who you want to actually be able to look up to or look at their life as having character. I see it when I hear you say that. I think about like the new movement for Black Lives happening right now, whether it's BYP or Sada's Daughters or Let Us Breathe or whoever, right. You know, the many awesome groups doing the work. And that many people said in 2014 when that movement started, they said, you should be following these pastors, these elders who had been doing the work. And there was tons of tension between, like, Black Lives Matter and Jesse Jackson, you know, and Father Flager and other movements that are still happening right now, yeah. where when they shut down the highway, a lot of those groups were like, I ain't doing that.
Yeah.
And a lot of that reason is not because it's out of a disrespect for the elders. I know because I'm in the rooms with them a lot. It's because, like, you're talking about freedom and justice as a preacher, but you still, women can't even preach in your pulpit.
Right.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, you talking about freeing the world and liberation, and there are people who belong to LGBT populations who can't even be themselves in your space, and you talking about justice? How can we talk about justice if we're not willing to talk about freeing our people? If the thing that the movement says is, until the black trans woman is free, none of us are free. And so we're not going to listen to these organizers and folks. We respect our elders, but in terms of being mentored, in terms of leading and following their lead, we got to talk about this fully, because if we talk about David and Saul, the thing that we have to recognize why it's the perfect mentoring relationship, let's read this text. Can we read this? Second Samuel 11. I'm going to read it for us, and you're going to see some stuff here. Some interesting things happened from our friend David here. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go to battle, David sent Joab with his officers, all Israel with him. They ravaged the Ammonites, besieged Reba. David remained at Jerusalem. It happened late one afternoon. I like how it says this. It just so happened. When David rose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house, walking on his own roof, and he saw that from the roof, a woman bathing. The woman was beautiful. She was beautiful. She was beautiful as my grandmother was in 1945 when she won Miss St. Paul at DuSable High School. She was that bad. I'm telling y'all, okay? And David sent someone, who is that over there? And it was reported, came back to David and said, that's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. So David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he lay with her. Ooh. This is something has happened here that, because there are children here, I'm not going to do that. But something has happened here. Okay? Pay attention to that. Something has happened here. Then she returned to her house. The woman conceived. She sent and told David, I'm pregnant. Ooh. David sent word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite, her husband. Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked how Joab and the people fared and how the war was going. David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. Uriah went out of the king's house, and there followed him a present from the king, but Uriah slept at the entrance of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, did not go down to his house. When they told David, Uriah did not go down to his house, David said to Uriah, you have just come from a journey. Why did you not go down to your house? Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah remain in booths, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife and to live as your soul lives? I will not do such a thing. David said to Uriah, remain here today. Also tomorrow I'll send you back. Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day. On the next day, David invited him to eat and drink in his presence and made him drunk. Ooh. And in the evening he went out to lie on his couch with the servants of his lord, but he did not go to his house. I could keep reading this, but here's what happens in the end. David has Uriah killed. David has Uriah killed. And the first thing you think is like, David, what is you doing? Ain't this the dude who was blessed by Samuel, who is supposed to be the leader of this mighty nation to bring it to its glory? What is going on right now? That's some cold-blooded stuff, Brief.
Sound like love and hip-hop to me.
Yeah. That's like, that just happens. That's like, that's some underhanded, that's like, you know what that's like? That's like when the city of Chicago just decided this week they were going to move the scrapyard from Lincoln Park over here on the south side because it's too dirty. They dirtying up north, so let's move it on the south side. That's underhanded like that, ain't it, Brief?
We got
enough Deborah, dirt. Am I telling the story right? I know she in here somewhere. That's like what happened when they stole TIF money that was supposed to go and develop the south side and went and did a redevelopment in Navy Pier.
I ain't know about that. That sounds dirty.
Yeah, exactly.
As well.
No, that's underhanded, right? Underhanded. That's like you, my friend, right? But here's what's really going on. That's underhanded. And we could name examples from Chicago to Washington, D.C. until the cows come home, couldn't we? It's cold-blooded stuff. And you see that and you go, well, no, David. But here's the thing. Where did David learn that from? You got to read your Bible now. Where did David learn how to do this? From his mentor, Saul. That's how he learned to do it. Do y'all remember Saul? Obviously, by the looks on your faces, not that well. But Saul was this dude who, at a certain point, it came where it says an evil spirit from the Lord came and visited Saul, which is a whole scripture. We would need to spend way more time than we got right now. But that this brother was visited by evil, and David learned everything he knew about how to be conniving and deceiving from his mentor. So when we talk about being better mentors, when we talk about being elders that are worthy of the title elder, we have to ask ourselves, how are we raising up? What are we teaching? What kind of relationship are we in with folks? Or like all the liberal, progressive, huge quotes right now, liberal, progressive folks in the world want to do, we just want to throw programs at the world. Let's just save the world with more programs, programs, programs. No, go and love a child, church. Go and find a child to love while we are building the programs, while we are finding the funding, while we are making the relationships. Go and be in relationship. Is everybody in here in a mentoring relationship? Or are we waiting for somebody to come up to us and tell us how great we are? Do we see young people who we see it in them or folks who are our age or older than it? We see it in them and we want to help bring it out of them, tease it out of them with a few questions, with a little presence, with a little love. But we're waiting for them. We're waiting for them. This is the thing that we work on a day-to-day basis in our music. But the reason why Breathe Easy is who he is on the south side, and especially in the southwest side, a superhero as far as I'm concerned, is because I go in the car with you, and kids love him. They just love him. And you're right. They don't even know he raps. They just love him because he opens up his life to them. And that's something that I wanted them to see you. I wanted them to see your example. I want us to thank God for what he is doing. Amen. Not just in music, in his life, and pray a blessing for him and his family and everybody, because he got two little ones and a wife running around. Where are your kids right now? Where are your kids? Oh, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah, they need a mentor.
Yeah, they you need a mentor, man. But to spend a few moments in this silence, asking ourselves, what is the opportunity to mentor that we are not taking advantage of? What can we do, even in this next moment of our lives, this next week, to move closer to doing better for the young Davids in our world so that Uriah can still be with us? Amen.